So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert. I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, cheers to Friendsgiving!
Hey.
Hello!
Hola.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bachelor Happy Hour. And you guys, you are in for a treat today, because not only are you just listening to another episode, no. This is the first ever Bachelor Happy Hour Friendsgiving!
Yeah.
Now, you hear some voices in the background, but you don't know who that is yet. So let me just start off by saying, I couldn't do Friendsgiving by myself, because if this was Thanksgiving, I wouldn't be doing it by myself. I would have my wonderful husband with me. So he is in the studio today joining me. He came all the way to LA to host Friendsgiving with me.
What's up, everybody?
Hi, babe. Yeah. I am so excited that you're here with me, first time in person on the Bachelor Happy Hour podcast. And we aren't alone. We have some of our dearest friends from Bachelor Nation joining us in the studio today. So everybody, welcome Eric, Katie, Tayshia, Joe, and Kendall.
Hey! Happy Hour! Yeah. Friendsgiving.
I'm so happy that you guys are here. Thankful in the spirit of Friendsgiving. I'm thankful that you guys are here. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to keep it real, honest, say things we're not supposed to say, which is what I love to do. But most of all, we're going to have fun. So let's just get right into it. Okay. We all know each other through this Bachelor Nation world, but we were all on different seasons. I mean, Brian, Eric, we were on the same season together. You guys, Joe and Kendall, were on
Paradise
together. You guys were on Colton season, Katie and Tayshia together. But so Brian and I are the furthest removed from the show. I guess I want to feel like, what would you say are some of the biggest changes from the show between our time to you guys? Because you're the most recent on the show. Did you watch the show before?
Ben was my first season I watched.
Okay.
And then I watched JoJo's, and then I kind of like...
Oh, you fell off during my season? Is that what you're saying?
Like that. No. No. I watched your season, but I just didn't watch it all the way through. I think it was more of like the friends that I was hanging out with at the time. My girlfriends in high school, especially, they had Bachelor Mondays. Mm-hmm. So they had like a big group of girlfriends. And then it kind of like when people were going to college and moving around and all that stuff, everything kind of like changed. But yeah, everything was super new for me. But the thing that I learned about most, I would feel, was finding myself. I think, because like I shared on the show, I went through a divorce. So I was just really finding who I was and just doing things for me for like the first time in my 20s. So it was really transformative in that aspect.
Yeah, the show is such a crazy experience. You know, like me personally, I'm glad it's over. How do you guys feel about that? Like, are you glad that the show is over and done with and you can kind of move on?
Definitely. Yeah. I think so, because when you're on the show, you're looking for love and you're trying to find more about yourself and who you are as a partner. And afterwards, I feel like I learned so much more about being in a relationship, not only with someone else, but also being like my individual self in a relationship, I learned a lot about. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I was excited to learn from the show and then go into like the real world with that knowledge. So,
I feel like you, Kendall and Joe are together.
Yes. Yes,
Brian and I are married. Katie, you're engaged. Okay, Eric, are you currently single?
I'm single.
So
I've been dating all year.
So I'm the would you one. Go back on the show?
No.
You're done. So we're all done with the show.
I mean, unless I get the pick.
What if they made you the lead? Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it.
Okay, fair.
It's because I have options.
Yeah. I know that's right. Just put it out there. Say.
I just think it's better that way. When you go through Paradise and go through the first season, it's a lot.
Eric
you
Bigger, 2020, Bachelor.
I mean,
campaign has started.
This is the first year, honestly, I really, really was like, man, I really, really want to do this. Really want to be in a relationship and figure it out. And, but failed whole year.
Really? Is it really hard to date in LA?
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
Because you don't know women's true intentions. What do they want from you? Are they dating you because of your status or your fame? I ask real questions. So what is it about me?
You didn't fail though.
No, not fail. I'm learning.
Yeah.
But you know what I've learned? It's not my time.
It's not your time.
But I'm like, damn, like can I? But I was like, you know what? Let it happen.
It's hard to date in LA. I think there's a lot of different people, a lot of different temptations, a lot of shiny things. And being single in LA, when I was living here as a single woman, it was very difficult to stay like focused on
a lot of distractions. There's so many distractions,
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the apps nowadays, it's like,
oh gosh,
like I feel like people treat it as a game.
Yeah.
Like right, like left, they're always trying to upgrade, quote unquote. So
when you also don't feel the sense of like, oh, I have to really work at this relationship. There's always the thought of, oh, if this doesn't work out, I can just go back on the app. Like I know so many people who download the app, delete it, and it's just like, you know, it's like a savior if you feel like a relationship isn't
it's
working.
Like a safety net.
Exactly. Yeah. You feel like you don't have to put as much energy into a relationship because there's always the next person.
Yeah. Is that why you went on the show? Just because like it's more controlled, you know, I guess? And maybe people, you would hope people are all coming in with the right intentions.
Yeah.
And
I honestly didn't go on the show expecting to ever find anybody. I mean, I was definitely open to it. I think the one thing you have to have is an openness to find somebody. Mm-hmm. But I went on it because I thought it would be a really transformative, amazing experience, and it was. And I did happen to find somebody.
There you go.
But neither of us expected to find each other, which I think was the best part about it.
100% the best way. And Joe, I know why you came on the show. If y'all didn't know already, Joe's approached in a grocery store of all places.
Wow. Sure.
And literally said, sure, I'll be the Bachelor. And she's like, wait a minute, there's steps to this. You don't just get to immediately be the Bachelor.
Well, no, she didn't even tell me that. I actually called a friend and they're like, no, that's not how it works. You need to go on the first one. And I was like,
But we all did say yes and we did it. Tayshia and Katie, why did you originally decide to go on the show?
So my girlfriends actually nominated me to go on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I really just had nothing tying me down. It was a thing that I was just trying to find myself. And I felt like I was open to it, but I just didn't know what I wanted yet. So I feel like this is just a way for me to grow.
I feel like the show helps you find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Before I went on Colton's season, I was reached out on Instagram by a casting producer.
Really?
On July 4th. And I was like, I wonder if she's drinking at a party. Maybe she's confused. Like, I had no idea. I was like, I don't know what's happening. But then walked into casting. It just kind of flowed from there. But my friends definitely pushed me to do it. I was really nervous.
You should be. Yeah. You're going on TV to date.
Scary.
Like I was just feeling almost like, ooh, I'm going to feel violated or expose myself too much. But you know what? Then we do it.
Yeah. Who did anybody do anything to prepare to go on the show? So, I'll preface this by saying, for me, I had never seen an episode before I went on it. Crazy enough, I'd been to watch parties, but I just went to socialize and drink. I never paid attention to who was actually on the screen. So before, as I was packing, like I'm literally packing to go to LA, I watched Ben's season and I got through like a couple of episodes and I remember I called the girls who signed me up and I was like, absolutely not. I cannot be in a house with these type of women. This is not for me. I hate this. But I'd already signed the contract and so I was like, all right, at this point I just have to go. I was pleasantly surprised. I love the people that I was on the season with. But I'm interested in how you guys prepared. Did you watch someone's season? Did you maybe work out? You know, I met you before the season.
Can we talk about that?
I met you.
Yes. So I signed up, the end of January. It was like, you're on a show. I don't know, right before you got casted as the lead. I didn't know she was going to be the Bachelorette. But I'm in LA. She was in LA at the time. I'm getting out of my car and I'm walking into the gym. And I look over, and there's a girl like a red bandana on working out. I'm like, hold up. That looks like Rachel. This can't be. So I called my boy. I'm like, bro, you're not going to believe this. I think she's at my gym. He's like, no. He's like, E, you have to say something. I was like, this can't be real. It was like the week of my birthday as well. It was crazy. Right before I saw it the week later. But anyway, so I go out. I go in. I come back out. I was like, that's her. What the heck is going on? What is the universe trying to tell me? So she came in. I said, I was speaking to her as I knew. I was like, Rachel, I see you working hard. She's like, I'm trying. I give her $5. I was like, I'll see you soon. She's like,
I got scared.
She's like, I don't know you.
I'll see you later.
I was like, huh? What'd you say? And I looked at her, I was like, I'll see you soon. She's like,
oh, it's so sweet.
Got it.
But I never told anybody because I was scared. You know, like when you're new to, I had already gone through The Bachelor.
Right.
But as the Bachelorette, it's like, do I tell a producer that this guy, I met this guy, I didn't want you to get kicked off the season. Yeah. So I just was like, I don't know. So I kept it as a secret. So then when you eventually told a producer, they said, why didn't you say that you met Eric before? And I was like, I was just trying to like not mess anything up. Or yeah, no, that was crazy. So yeah, you were at the gym working out before.
Yep. Right. And then I saw you on AFR. That Monday.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because at the time, you didn't know you were going to come on the show.
Yeah.
So my season was the first season where they started bringing people out at AFR. So you got to meet some of your guys before you actually met them coming out of the limo that night. And which was crazy. Oh. And I truly was surprised. A lot of people were like, did you know? And I said, no. They said, we have to take your phone away early. I was livid.
Yeah.
And they said, we just don't want you to know what's about to happen. Something's going to happen. And so that's what ended up happening. And I got to meet the guys.
And that was the startup. It's miracle season.
Right.
What about you guys? Did you do anything to prepare for the show? Joe and Kendall?
Funny. Joe got a haircut.
Yeah.
Tell the story, Joe. Tell the story.
All right. Okay. Funny enough, I actually watched the first night of like multiple seasons to prepare myself.
So you,
which is
no
like,
wonder you went home the first night.
I freaked myself out with that. And then this, I actually went. So I'm like, okay, I got to get a nice suit. So I went to Gucci and bought a suit. And then
I thought it was Tom Ford.
I'm not finished. Okay. So now we're trying on, and it's like we have like 4 days to go, and it like just doesn't fit right. And my friend's like, turn around. And I'm at his house. He's like, it's really tight on your ass. And it's like riding up your ass.
Thing.
And now I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I can't look like Pee Wee Herman on this show. And so I'm like, oh. So I'm like, oh. I mean, I only go on TV once. Fuck it. We go to Tom Ford and buy another suit. So I spent like so much money on suits. Whoa. And like nice ones. And then I went home the first night, so
it paid
just
off.
But tell us about
do you still have those suits?
I have the Tom Ford one, the Gucci one. They took it back and they gave me the credit, and then I bought another suit and tried to wear it to the Mentel All, and they wouldn't let me wear it on TV.
Just bad luck with suits and
so
Eric, remember there was like one dude that he got like a whole new wardrobe, suits. He was crying. Like,
yeah, he was.
He got it sent home the first night.
What was his name?
And his suit was terrible that night. I remember.
Yeah. What was his name?
His name was Milton.
Milton.
Yeah. Let's talk about first night. This is a big one for you, Joe. You can really participate in
this
conversation.
That was the worst night, you know, of my life.
I don't remember, like, other than Eric and Brian, because you were on my season, I don't remember everybody's limo exit.
Oh, mine's not good.
So, great. Good. This makes for good content. I want to know, let's go around the table and say what your limo entrance was. Joe.
Okay, so mine, I was prepping, and the producer's like, you know, just don't talk until you reach her. I'm like, okay. And as soon as I open the doors, I'm like, how you doing? Yeah. Like Mr. Italian comes out. Then I walk up to her. I talk to her for like 2 minutes. And I'm not making any sense. And I know I'm not making any sense. And I could just feel myself get like pale. And I'm like, this is just horrible. So finally, I'm like, I forgot everything I was going to say. And she's like,
after talking for 2 minutes, yeah,
she's like, what? And I'm like, nice to meet you. I'm Joe. And I walk in and I say, what the fuck? And they actually aired it, which I couldn't believe. And that was it. Then I walked in and I kind of was like, all right. And I stood there and got a beer and I tried talking to people, but I just couldn't really groove with anyone.
Yeah, first night's tough. Yeah. And then you got to Becca and you said, what's your biggest pet?
Then I got to Becca. I had the second conversation with Becca and I said, what's your pet peeve? And I couldn't believe I asked that question. And I didn't even have an answer for myself. She looked at me like I was crazy. And next thing I knew, she was gone and I was standing there by myself and I thought, I cannot believe I agreed to come on this show. What is wrong with me? This is so embarrassing. And then I went home.
I would have thought that Joe would have been cute the first night because that nervousness, he was kind of like that on Paradise the first day too. But I would say that you were a little more suave on the first day of Paradise because he went in for the kiss.
Ooh.
Oh. So yeah. The first day?
Well,
first
yeah, but,
day.
Well, Brian knows.
Okay, wrong with that.
Be smooth.
Right. Well, and it was right after I said, oh, I'm so glad that no one's trying to
kiss me.
Or not kiss me. I was like, I'm so glad no one's trying to like make claims. Everyone's kind of feeling it out. And he's like, well, that's what I'm trying to do right now. And then he kisses me.
Oh, whoa.
Hey,
whoa.
Chill.
But Paradise was different because Paradise, you could chill for, you're chilling and talking to everyone for like 8 hours, you know, and then you go in for the kiss.
So
but,
you feel there was like that
so
tension
8 hours?
In the Bachelorette where
yeah,
you,
know, no,
you had to make a move quickly before anybody else did.
Correct. Yeah.
Kendall, how did you come out of the limo?
Oh, it was
did you have a dead
awful.
Animal?
No, I did not have a dead animal. Oh. I waited, I think, maybe until the next day to bring a dead
she
animal.
Has taxidermy.
I brought the first piece of taxidermy I brought was a pickled bat. And so then
a
Ari
what?
Named
what?
A pickled bat.
Amazing.
And then Ari named her Victoria.
Wow. Did we see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because wow.
I was
going to
say, I like, that's what I hope that at Friendsgiving we tell some behind the scenes things that people don't get to
know. We have so many dead animals in our house.
Okay. Well, I like to see them as the art of nature. You know, the art of nature preserved. We have many specimens.
I love it.
The house.
Yeah,
perfect
I love
for
it.
Halloween, by the way.
No, yeah, it's
yeah.
perfect.
And Joe actually contributed to the collection. He got me a badger that we've named Beaver.
Because I thought it was a beaver.
He's like, well, we were at this taxiderm shop in Texas, and I really wanted this badger because I've always wanted a badger in my collection. And Joe is like, how much for the beaver? And the taxidermist and I were like, it's actually a badger.
It's a badger. I'm like, whatever.
So it's the badger named Beaver. But yeah, so for the first night, I was extremely nervous. I was also very paranoid, and because you don't know going into it, I'm thinking, I used to work behind the scenes in television, and I was thinking, where's the actors and all this stuff? And I was fully on guard preparing for people to mess with me, but it wasn't like that. Like, there was no actors. It was very much, so much more real than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think after I got an idea of, this is real, all these people are here, and they're real people. They're not, you know, they don't have like a script or anything. That's when I let my guard down. But it wasn't until like the first week until I was actually like realizing that was the case.
Yeah, but what'd you say out of the limo? Didn't you sing a song?
Oh, no. I sang Ari a song that I had written for him the second time we met.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Oh, not the second. Well, like the second talk of the night.
I'm like, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Did they show that? They did. I was wow. so nervous that I saying, I mean, my voice wasn't that great. My voice isn't great in general, but so I like had the ukulele underneath the bench. So we're sitting on the bench and I was like, I got something for you. Whipped out the ukulele. And I was like, woo. And it was just, I think.
That's a bold move. You know,
it like was, this,
you didn't know how that was going to go.
No, and I wrote the song the night before, the wow, day before.
Nice.
Did anybody
Nobody
wear
thinks
a costume?
Of that. I think that's all.
Mm-mm. No one wore a costume in the first night of
Matt
Rises.
Matt Munson had what? The chicken,
the
on
penguin.
The
he penguin. Got like a the he penguin. Got he got a skin
See,
rash.
That was
oh what?
Yeah, he yeah. was on the sidelines for a minute. The first night he was sitting on the side like
a nice chill
miserable.
Staph infection.
Oh no!
We had a chicken on ours too.
Chicken?
Yeah, David was a chicken.
Okay. Oh yeah,
we had the sloth
recently. Yep, we had the sloth.
Oh yeah, at the Soul Cycle.
Yep,
we ran into
yep.
him. I think when people wear a costume, it's really daring.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, I got to give you an A for effort. And then with Matt breaking out in a full body rash,
yeah.
I couldn't send him home
oh,
too.
Of course.
You and your rash get out of here.
Right.
Okay, Taisha, how did you come out of... Well, Eric, I know I'll let you give a chance to say how you
Well, it was really simple and quick. I was nervous, pervous. I was frightened. I was in a limo with Dean and DeMario, and I wasn't drinking. So I was so nervous. I got to Rachel. I don't know what I said. I think I said, why do I keep seeing you?
Yeah.
And I think that was it. And I just
but we had already met because of, well, the gym and then AFR. Yes. So it was like three times.
Three
at that
times.
Point.
Like, third time's a charm. Number. Right. So, but it was cool, but nervous.
I was the same way. I didn't have anything prepared coming out of the limo. I just like walked out and I remember looking at him and I was like, what the heck am I doing here? And I completely blacked out. And I was like, hi, I'm nervous. I know nothing about you, but you have a big heart. So do I. And then I walked in. Sweet. But then I had Taisha land inside. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's cute. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do I do? So I just started coming up with lots of ideas and spin things out. All of a sudden I was like, what if I do a magic trick? I don't know magic, but I'm going to try and do one.
Oh.
And she was like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm like, I'm just like, give me ideas. And she's like, what if you do something? Because he's a virgin. And I'm like, shoot, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do
did
this.
Did you do
but
a virgin joke?
I did.
Virgin
yeah. I said, pick a card, any card. He grabs a card. And I'm like, hold on. Like, just imagine what card that is. Like put it into the universe. I grab the card. I shuffle them up. I'm like, now pick this card. And he's like, okay. I'm like, now pick a card again. I grab it. And I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, I think I know what your card is. I'm like, I don't know what it was, but I think I just took your V card. Because I go, can I take that?
I do. And then
I was like, oh, I'm so lame. I'm not a nervous person, but I was nervous that night. Because I don't think what people get is you roll up to them. It happens so fast.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
You roll up to the mansion, and then like whoever the lead is just standing there. And it's eerily quiet.
Yep.
And you think you're going to see all these cameras, and they're kind of farther away distance, than you think.
Creeping in the back.
And the ground is wet, and you're like, oh, wait, my dress. Yeah. You know, you guys don't have to worry about that. And it's just so scary, and you're like, this is it. There's no turning. I remember thinking, mm-hmm. there's no turning back. This is it.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's terrifying. I remember I walked into the bathroom and stared at myself in the mirror and thought, there's no going back. Like, I can't back out of this. Like, there's nothing I could do. Oh, let me go back out there. That was horrible.
Like, make your way back out. All right, times two.
Yeah.
If you had to give advice to someone who, I mean, like, we know Peter is filming his season, and so they've already done their first night. So I think that's the best night, when you get to see meet the people for the first time,
yes.
see the hometown packages, and then also see what crazy things they do the first night. If you're going to give advice to someone for this next season, whoever the Bachelorette's going to be and who's coming out, what would you tell them to do? Should they go all out? Should they make a scene? Should they have a prop? Should they just say a speech? I mean,
I always followed the KISS principles. Keep it simple, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I came out, was just myself, smiled, talked a little in Spanish. I actually got great advice going on the show. A good buddy of mine, Eric, you know him, just literally focus on the lead no matter what. I mean, I had seen the show before, so I knew that she was going to have relationships and connections with other guys. So I mentally prepared myself for that. But then also, don't start any drama and don't talk behind anybody's back. Just follow those three pieces of advice, and that kind of helped me out a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you want to showcase your personality in some way.
Yeah.
And I feel like taking a big breath before you get out. I was the first one out of my limo, and so I think when I walked away, Ari said, oh, she was really nervous, you know? So it's just, I think maybe putting it in perspective of, you know, it's not just you meeting them, they're also meeting you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
And so having that perspective of, it's not all about them, although they are the lead, it's also about you, like,
showcasing
them meeting
your
you and your personality. So I would say that's what I would advise.
I mean, you were nervous. I imagine it had to be...
I guess I wasn't nervous because I thought they are here for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is so empowering that, and then I could hear them saying, Rachel in the car. And I was like, that's me. You know,
yeah.
I was like, they're here to see me. And I was so excited for who was going to come out and what they were going to do. And all these new people that were coming into my life. And I just like, couldn't wait to meet everybody, you know, whether you were going home the first night or not. I was just so excited. And one thing for me, I kept saying, never forget what it feels like to be in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I was talking to someone, I tried to give them my full attention because I was like, I know what it's like to have just 5-10 minutes with them. And they've been waiting all day, or you've been waiting all day to talk to that person. But what was your least favorite part of filming? I'll tell you mine. It's girl chats.
Girl chats.
Yeah. Straight up girl chat. You want to go have a girl chat? No, I don't.
hate them. And so for those of you who don't know, girl chats are, or those of you listening, girl chats are when, you know, everyone else, not everyone, but people are off on a date, whether it be a one-on-one, a group date. You're sitting around the house with absolutely nothing to do but tan, read, make, pretend to work out, drink, and like there are cook if you're one of the, I was definitely not the one cooking in the house.
No, I was.
Yeah,
not.
There's always one. There's no chef in the Bachelor Mansion. People don't know, forget that. But girl chats or guy chats are when they say, hey, do you want to go talk about it? And usually you're talking about your feelings or the other girls that are on the date and what that feels like to be at home. But I despised them. I would always try to like sleep or, I don't know, run away.
I actually have a different perspective. I mean, yeah. I don't know about you, Eric, but I've never talked about my feelings more in my life with another dude than I did on that show. Absolutely. For sure.
And you liked it.
I thought it helped me be a better person. I mean, it was funny because when I got home, I remember talking to my other guy friends that weren't on the show, obviously, and just started, hey, man, how you feeling?
Yeah.
And just started really getting deep with them, and they're like, what's wrong with you? Like,
I will agree.
Why are you being weird?
I will agree that being on the show almost makes you, like,
be
express
vulnerable.
Your feelings so much more. You talk more about your feelings. Like, right off the bat, I was, like, crying in front of people, talking about how I was feeling in front of people. I think it was really incredible. Yeah. It was very transformative.
Like, I feel it helps you be better in relationships.
And also you gain more apathy for other people as well, because you see everyone going through the same experience that you went through, and you have an understanding of, like, their perspective. I think that's what I got from it.
And you can relate. You can relate.
See, I hated that. I swear I hate it. I like talking to the producer.
I like
once,
that.
Once I got comfortable with my producer, I enjoyed that. But like you said, girl chats, guy chats, like, I don't even think I did any of them. Like, even in Paradise, I don't think I was part of any of them because I just wouldn't talk. Yeah. I would just sit there and be like, eh, you're full of shit. You know? And that's kind of how I felt, which is wrong. You know, it isn't the right way to be, but I was really in my head.
Yeah. I was really in my head, too. For girl chats, I felt like when a question would come up, I felt that it felt like acting.
Yeah, you didn't feel
like
yourself.
I was thinking, this isn't how I talk. This isn't how I would approach the conversation, but I'm going to try and give you my input. And it was just felt very abnormal to me. And so I try to stay away from girl chats as well.
I like man chats only because it allowed
me.
Man chats.
That sounds so weird, right?
Because I think for me, it allowed me to listen and understand a person's perspective, how they was raised, what they believe in, their motto of the world. I mean, it was a moment we were in, I think, Copenhagen.
Okay.
And you was like, man, E, I feel like you got some momentum because you and Rachel had something going on earlier that wasn't so great. And we kind of smooth all the way through, and like just having that back and forth and that trust amongst one another, it makes you feel like, you know, grounded and you feel okay. Yeah. But then there was moments where the Lee and the Bryce situation, when I'm being vulnerable and I'm telling it and they're using my truth against me, and I'm like, what? Who does that?
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. You got to be careful because you don't know the other person's intentions. Like you said, they might use that information against you.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But you are, when you're just on such a high.
Yeah, you're in
and
it.
And you really are grateful. And someone told me, Allie told me when I was going into this season to be the Bachelorette, she said, take advantage of every moment. It goes by so fast. It's a lot and you're going to be exhausted, but truly appreciate every single day. And so as tired as I was, I would always say, okay, let me just be grateful and thankful that I'm here and I have this opportunity and I'm in Norway of all places. And now I'm, you know, it's just like you have to pinch yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And to see if it's real. I always joke that I swear I'm going to pinch myself, wake up one day, and all of you will just be a figment of my imagination. Like, I'll walk past you in the grocery store. I'm like, she looks familiar. Where did I know her from? Oh, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
isn't that how you felt when you got home, though? Like, from after filming? I felt like, was I just in a dream?
Alternate reality.
Because, like, you come home, and, like, everything's exactly the same, like, when you left. Like, your parents are doing the same exact thing. Everything's the same. And I'm like, I just went to, like, 5 countries. Like, I don't know what just happened.
You were in a dream for a little while.
Yeah. And then you come back and you can't really talk about it. And you're just like, what just happened to me?
Yeah. But you are in another world. It is
a completely different world.
Stops when you're in that bubble because you don't have your phone, TV. You're completely disconnected from everything.
Yeah.
Your world is The Bachelor. You know, it's like if there was a Chris Harrison would be like the God.
Yeah.
And, you know, the producers are your parents and these are your only friends. There's one man or one woman in this world. Truly, that's how it is.
So bizarre.
Yeah. We were talking about this before that transition of when the show is over and you're done and you come back into the real world, did you guys find it difficult?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very difficult.
Of course. Yeah. Like, let's talk about that. Oof.
I didn't want to go out in public.
I have social anxiety. Yeah, too. My social anxiety was at an all-time high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I felt that everything I did, I was facing people. I was faced with questions. I was everything was, and it was almost the same question. And I felt that I had to show up and not be robotic, but deliver with the same enthusiasm as when I first came back and, you know, said things to my parents or whatever. And even some things that were a little bit more, I felt more negatively about, I felt that I couldn't share or express those feelings with just general fans. So it was weird to try and get out of my house, because I felt like I don't even want to go to the grocery store because I don't want people to talk to me. Even though I'm grateful and appreciative of these people supporting me, yeah. I feel that I'm constantly explaining myself, and it was making me feel, I was disconnecting from the actual emotional part of it, because it felt like a speech at one point. Mm. I felt like I was just like spitting out answers and not giving people full me.
Yeah. Yeah. You go through a lot of evolution and growth while you're on the show. And so you're almost coming back to the same world as a different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I felt like everything else was the same, but I had changed so much, and everyone that I was used to knowing everything about me since I was a kid wasn't a part of that. And I was also for the first time able to make decisions and go through like the mental processes without having the people that usually give their input in my life. Mm-hmm. My family's very involved in my life. My friends are very involved, especially when it comes to dating. And they were not, I think I had strangers basically helping me through something that was supposed to be like finding the love of my life. So I just felt like I had a whole new like empowerment for what it meant to be myself going through a relationship, as opposed to me and like my posse, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Once I got off, I was like, and I knew people knew who I was. I was like, this is going to be awesome. Like, I can't wait. And like, my friends and I, we all went to a bar and everyone knew me. I was like,
you can tell by the way.
I love this. Yeah, it was great. Well, I was super excited for it.
Oh, I can see Joe walking down the street the first time.
Oh, yeah. I walked down
grocery store, Joe.
Yeah, totally.
Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I was walking down the street and girls were all like, oh, my God. That's, I was like, oh, my God. My life is amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my
gosh,
so what is the first thing you did when you came back from filming? Obviously, you went walking down Michigan Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Strolling.
Take full advantage of this. Bathe in the fame.
I remember getting really sick. Like, I feel like I poured all my emotions. I called you. Remember I FaceTimed you, like, early on? I was bedridden. Like, I think I just poured out so much emotion.
Really?
And I didn't get sick throughout the show. Then literally when I got home, bedridden for like 4 days with the flu.
Well, because you're go. And
yeah,
all of a sudden
like
stop.
So much adrenaline.
Your body
and
catches up with you.
I think people don't understand either. Like, we sacrifice so much.
Yeah.
Our life, our time,
sleep.
Our energy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think you know, Brian or Rachel, when we were filming in Spain, I stayed an extra 10 days.
Because I didn't know that.
Right, they didn't want me to fly home.
Oh, because, the same thing. Yeah,
so getting home and I'm looking at the world, I'm like, this is weird. Like, I'm training people again. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I was on edge. I was chippy. Like, I didn't have patience for anything. If you did anything I didn't like, I will let you know.
Yeah, and, like, because we were so used to letting people know.
Yeah, because you're so, like, in this energy and this vibration of how you feeling, what's going on, people are invading your space, and I don't want to talk about that. And you get home and someone does something like, nah, stop that.
Yeah. I feel like I had the Joe effect. I went out and partied.
Oh, yeah.
I got home, and I went straight to the club. Yeah. Wow. I was like, my friends, I'm back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm the coolest person here right now. This is so awesome.
After Paradise, you, Joe, went to, what was it? It was, Bachelorette. It was St. Patrick's Day
in Chicago. Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't as good because that I was like, I can't believe
After
I got
Paradise,
kicked off that show the first night.
Paradise was hard for me because I was like trying to hold back crying the entire time on the plane, the entire time on the Uber. I couldn't tell people I had gotten home until I actually landed back in California. And so I was trying to cry the entire time. I called my mom and she's like, how was it? What happened? I was like, I can't talk.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got home, my roommate came running out to me and I burst into tears. And I swear, I don't think I stopped crying for like 3 days until Joe got down in those DMs. And then I was fine. But I just remember the first thing I did is I got all my girlfriends together. We had wine. I went up in my attic that I kind of turned into like a little hangout room. I just went up there and told everyone what had happened and like was crying and drinking wine. So
Well, that's good. You surrounded yourself with like.
Yeah. What is the most, you know, what's the question that everyone asks you when you come off the show? Like, what's the most prominent or consistent question? Is it real?
Yeah. Is it real?
Is it produced? Is it scripted?
Do you still own a grocery store?
Are you? Yes. Did you really fall in love?
When are you going to get married? It's
like, where's Rachel?
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, how are you doing?
How are you? How are you doing?
Yes. Like, they want to know
everything. Yeah, we don't
get that. Yeah. No. Did anybody keep anything from the show?
Oh, my gosh. I have a whole box.
What? Okay, we're starting with you.
I definitely do.
I feel like the girls do it more, but go ahead, Tayshia.
I have all my roses. I have all my journals.
All your roses.
I know.
How they not rot?
Because it's a big deal, you guys. Yeah. You know, yeah. So you have like this little box, and like nobody will ever like.
What?
I love it.
My favorite. It is a big deal.
After an episode, I would like come out and like I'd show my friend a little something, and they'd be like, "No way! Like, where's our rose from today?" Or like I had like a shirt from like skydiving. I have that.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have my Vietnam suit.
Do you have that? Yeah, really? I saw our fighting suit.
Oh, that's so cool.
I have like a random towel from one of my dates. It's just like I have a lot of little things.
How did you preserve the roses?
I was gonna say,
I tried that for like the first couple weeks and they all started to stink in my bag.
Molded.
I was like, forget this.
I molded.
I would like hang them upside down.
Okay.
And then like I would smash it in my book.
So it's like, okay. We know how to do it.
Yeah.
I just put them in like a Ziploc.
So did I, and they all molded and died.
Yeah.
So, Kendall, you kept roses.
I kept the rose that Joe gave me from Paradise. I still have that rose.
The only one that matters.
Those roses. Yeah. But all of them from The Bachelor, they all molded. Because you had to travel, and I put them in a little Ziploc bag as well. And the moisture, of course.
Yeah.
I was always so, like, nervous or giddy afterwards. I would always pluck all my roses. Just so it was just a stem. Every single rose. You even see me when I get engaged, I'm doing the little, we filmed a little thing afterwards. And my rose is just, like, nothing. There's nothing on her. It was just a stem. I was just like waving around a stem.
That's your nervous habit.
That's my nervous habit. I'm just plucking the whole rose. Like, he loves me, he got it.
I saved roses too when I was on Nick's season, and I saved date cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know,
there was something about getting the date card and like keeping it, and then especially when you separate and you go to hometowns, it's like I would read the date cards again. Mm. Like, you try to see if there's like a deeper meaning in it.
Oh my gosh, you did that?
Yeah, you do.
I'm such a weirdo.
We're both just weird.
Yeah.
I would do it too. I mean, that's your world. Yeah. So it's like you're holding on to all of that. But don't worry. I mean, once I was bachelorette, I threw everything away.
I had a funny experience. So probably a year ago, around this time, I went to go take my peacoat to the cleaners, right? And that was the peacoat I was wearing in Spain. So I'm like, what is this in my pocket? So open up. It's the Fantasy Suite card with the key.
Oh,
with the key?
What the heck? What's going on, universe? So it was just a funny experience, but it brought back those memories, the time we spent in Spain. It was just beautiful, but I'm like, damn, I wasn't trying to hold on to it, but I guess it was holding on to me.
You use that like on a date?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Present someone with that card, please.
Oh, that's, yes.
Please.
I gotta find out if I kept it. If it's in my box, but it was funny.
All right, let's get juicy.
Ooh. Oh, shucks.
Anybody have something to share, some tea to spill, or champagne, since that's what we're drinking in the room, some champagne to spill about things that happened maybe behind the scenes, maybe a funny moment that we don't know about?
Before we get started, can we just do a toast? Because this is Friendsgiving.
Oh, of course.
We did talk about gratitude, and I think I appreciate everyone at this table. Our lives have changed, and, you know, some of us in love.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Happy Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving.
Yay. Okay, now.
That was cute. Thanks, Eric.
Who's got the tea?
Let's get right to it.
Don't try to change the subject.
Eric's like,
anything behind the scenes. Like, there has to be something.
Well, we had babies in our one-on-one.
We
it
did.
It was like the worst day ever.
Oh, yeah.
The baby scene.
I was cute, though. I feel like I liked seeing you with a baby.
Yeah.
It was really cute. After that, you cried. You broke down. You're like, oh, I don't know if I could be with this guy.
that's another thing. Before we went to get a drink, after handling the babies, we literally had 2 hours of sleep,
that was rough.
And then I had to like take care of a child who was crying the entire time. It was really hot, and I felt really bad. And emotionally, of course, you're going through everything. Right before we went, I like broke down, and I was like, oh, can I get ready before we go get drinks like on the beach? And I was just like, oh, I just want to feel pretty. It was my most diva moment, I think, of the entire thing.
I cry when you say, when you said I wanted to feel pretty, that makes me think of the proposal day because the win was insane.
Yes.
And when I tell you I looked so pretty before, like my hair was together, it was in this messy bun, and then we step out there and it's just, and they had moved the date up because the weather was supposed to be so bad the real day. And it was still awful. And my hair was flying over and you could see my weave. And aww, I was mortified. And I'm literally in tears. And then Brian starts walking up and I was like, get out of here, get out of here. I was mortified. I used to always, with Brian, try to give him my room number.
Yes.
And so like I would, like if my room number was like 123, I'd be like, like that would and turn you know what was, our date.
What was so funny, what was so funny is that my producer.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm putting fingers on the table. Yes.
So you gave me your room number multiple times. And I was like, I never got a chance to go up there because my producer was like, no, you can't do that. And I was very by the rules, by the book. So I was like, unless
he
they
is,
would give me the
he's
go
the
ahead.
Rule follower.
But I was so upset. I was like, if I see you on the show when it airs, anybody else go up to a room, I'm pissed. Because I had multiple chances.
But they said that you could, but there would have to be a camera.
Oh.
Also, what would happen
about having a camera in the room when you were
yeah, I was like, no, it's about sneaking into the room.
Yes.
And then after one of those, this makes me think of something else, and I wonder if this happened to anyone during your time of filming. When we were in Norway, everything was haunted. Did you guys deal with that?
I had a spirit in my room.
Really?
In Denver.
In Oslo. Did you feel something?
No. It was odd, but it was okay.
Apparently that was a haunted hotel. They told me later.
Really?
But Tayshia, I want to hear your story after this. But my TV, so I had a two-story room, and my TV, look, I see this skeptic Joe looking at me in the corner.
See, there must be a reasonable explanation.
Joe, I'm not kidding. My TV turned on by itself upstairs, and I was so exhausted that I just put the covers over my head, and I was like, whatever. I'm too tired to care about it. And it was like at 2 a.m. or something.
In your hotel?
In my hotel.
Well, that's probably because like all the TVs are connected. And I would say maybe like the room above you might have changed the
there
channel.
There was no room above me. The roof was above me, okay?
Okay, what about the room below?
I had a room below.
So you had all the rooms.
It was a two-story. Okay. So anyways.
Universal remote.
Maybe two. So then the next day I'm talking to audio and the cameraman and they're telling me all these stories about past seasons of having haunted hotels and seeing things and weird things that have happened. And we're doing it in the room. And I was like, yeah, that was like 2 nights ago. And then they all left. And then that next night, the same time of night, the TV turned on again by itself. I grabbed everything that I could
and flew
ran
out
across
the
hall. That was plan B. And ran across the hall to a producer's room, banged on the door, and I was like, let me sleep in here. I'm not doing it again. I had a haunted room. And, yeah. But go ahead.
That's
tell
so
your story.
Scary. Yeah. Okay, well, we stayed at a haunted house in Denver.
I wasn't there. Okay. I was somewhere on a plane in Vietnam.
Sorry. So we stayed at a hotel in Denver that was haunted. And Kirpa and I were staying in this room. It was like, it's very old. It's like an old library. And I just remember it was at night, and I'm like a light sleeper kind of, and I heard this noise, and it was like you know, like a nail scratching like on like a linen.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
Oh wow.
Okay. So I heard that, and I was like, okay, and like, okay. I like closed my eyes again, and I heard again like 10 minutes later, and I was like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, Kirpa, and Kirpa was sleeping, and I hit her. I'm like, Kirpa. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, Kirpa, did you hear that? She's like, no, what's wrong? I'm like, Kirpa. And then she turns over. She's like, Tayshia. I'm like, what? She's like, I'm like, why are you saying my name like that? She's like, turn on the light. I'm like, Tayshia. She's like, Tayshia, turn on the light. And I'm like, Kirpa, stop playing with me right now. Yeah. I turn on the light, and the curtain was like, it looked like a body was behind the curtain.
Oh, what? I was dead.
Okay. And we're staring at it. We're straight up staring at it. There's like a hump in the curtain. And we're like,
what?
And then we start like hitting each other. Like, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, no, it has to be like the air conditioning vent. Like, it has to be something. So then I don't know what I did, but I literally took my comforter and I lifted it up. Cause I'm like, I'm going to go, like, I don't know what I thought I was going to do. I lifted the comforter and it literally what? Flattened. It flattened out. And I was like, oh, hell no. And you guys, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we ran out. We went to the bathroom. We were like screaming, like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then I prayed and I was like, okay, let's go back into the room. We went back into the room. And then in the morning we looked and there was an air conditioning vent, like right in the spot, right? And I was like, see, it was the air conditioning. It was nothing. So then I went to like the hostess lady. I was like, so like, is like the air conditioning on like at night or like the heater? I mean, because it was like cold. She's like, oh no, we haven't turned it on for the winter yet. I'm like, so like there's like no air coming out of that thing? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, cool. We had a spirit. Like,
yeah. No air is coming out of it. Just like, spirits.
Oh, I would die.
It was, you guys, I'm not kidding you. The second I lifted my comforter as if I was getting out of the bed, it flattened out and it was gone.
I believe you. I remember when during Nick's season, we were in Wisconsin and Sarah and Raven were in a room and they said they both saw the same lady in the room, and I was across the hall from them, and I was like, but like, how close was she to my room? That's what I need to know.
But am I safe?
They said they described her to it was something weird like that, like a lady or whatever. And that when they told us, we were all in their room having snacks for some reason, and I was like, because I was like, this thing can't attach to me. Do you have Joe, do you have a spirit story to tell? Joe's the biggest skeptic. He doesn't believe any of this right now.
No, I don't.
You don't believe me, Joe? You don't believe my spirit story?
I believe you believe it.
Wait, like, what?
I do believe that. Like, I believe you saw, like, I just think, you know, I just don't believe in ghosts. I just don't.
Do you, Kendall?
I used to have sleep paralysis. I still kind of have it.
So I get that too.
I don't know if it's either a ghost or maybe my brain. Mm-hmm. I think your reality can be greatly skewed by a number of factors. Like our brains construct the reality we see, and you can see by some people if they're colorblind or some people who have different like views of reality. Like your mind is in control of that.
Well, that's and that's what like drugs do. You know, they change your reality.
Yeah, so, I mean, I always feel like there has to be some scientific explanation to like why you see certain things, why you experience certain things. Like sleep paralysis for me was something in my mind that, you know, got me stuck in the middle of REM sleep, or it was anxiety, or it was something like that. So, I mean, because if I didn't allow myself to see a scientific explanation, I would probably like feel like I was possessed by a demon, which I don't want. So.
And at that point on the show, even if it is a spirit, you are so sleep deprived by that point that it could be a number of things and your mind will go anywhere.
No, it was a spirit.
Tayshia,
I'm telling you right now.
I'm there with you because that TV, I did not imagine that. That TV was on and it turned on twice by itself.
No.
And what I also didn't tell you is the first night that it changed on, it was changing channels.
Oh. Okay. Oh,
yeah. And I did not, like.
Or just like.
Yeah, like. It's not that I could hear. I could tell that the programs were different. Like, I could hear it changing, but I was so exhausted. I just thought, well, if it's going to come get me, it's going to come get me because I'm too tired at this point to deal with it. Ew. But this is a perfect segue into mental health. Because this show can drive you crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. And I still stand by. Tayshia, I believe you saw a
Thank
spirit.
You. Thank
I believe you. There was one in my room, but that is not due to our sanity in any kind of way. But what is the best way that you guys, because we talk about it. We talk about the, Kendall, you said the anxiety, and Katie, you said sleep deprived, and you're exhausted and you're going through so many emotions in a way that you haven't before, and it's also accelerated. So each of you, and anybody can take this first, what's the best way to deal with your mental health? But what were some ways that you were able to cope with, you know, being in this world?
I journaled a lot on my season, and I think because it was very hard to meditate, because if you ever were caught just sitting doing nothing, I felt that people needed you for some reason, or you needed to go do a girl chat or whatever it was. So I was like, I can't be caught doing nothing. Even if it's meditating, they won't see it as that. So I would journal, and that journaling would kind of, you know, it was a puzzle to my mind and how my mind was working or why I was thinking certain ways. So that helped me the most, I would say.
Yeah.
It helped me grow while I was there, because there were things I felt I couldn't talk to the girls about. And that were only for me, And journaling was like my number one go-to.
There's a sense of paranoia when you're on the show, I feel, like feeling like, of course, these are your friends and you trust people to a certain extent, but in reality, you've only known them for how long, you know? So I felt like there's a lot of things I did keep to myself. And in Paradise, I would write a journal. But I think after the show, when it wasn't being filmed and you weren't as vulnerable in that sense, I did find security with other people who went through the same experience, which is why I feel like after the show, you do more so feel like you connect with people that were on your season. So
Really
in the group chats, or you can meet up with people who live in like near you, you can just talk about what happened.
In Paradise, I felt like I'm like, this is like a vacation. So like, I really was. I was like, cause you know, I worked, in the real world, I worked a lot of hours. And then when I was there, I'm like, oh, this is, they take my cell phone. I deal with no bullshit. And I'm just chilling on a beach. Everything's free. You know,
I'm like, this is great.
But you know, if I did like panic a little bit, I pace. Pace a lot. So in Paradise, I was always pacing, like always pacing. Cause I was always thinking like, how could I become the next Bachelor? How could I become the next Bachelor? But no, I was always pacing, though, because that just helps me, you know, my mind. It's the way
also,
it works.
Joe plays with things, like, in his hands always. It's kind of like messing with something. So during the entirety of this podcast, Joe has been playing with a little miniature pumpkin.
I did notice that. I thought you were, like, squeezing. I thought it was nervous energy or something like that.
Well, it kind of is. Okay. It's just, like, it calms me. I don't know. It just works for me to fidget with things.
Yeah.
I feel like working out would be a good stress relief, but the damn mansion still to this day has no gym. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right.
Terrible. So people are just like making up exercises and...
You weren't allowed to run. Like it was dangerous in that area around the mansion to run.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, I hate the Bachelor Mansion. Like, I don't feel any kind of way when I go back and I see it. Like, I don't get any kind of feeling. It is no sense of nostalgia. I'm like, ew.
Those beds were
nasty.
Awful.
The
shower
it's
wasn't
gross.
Working every night.
I couldn't sleep there. I remember, like, and I was having an interview, actually, and I remember my eyes were swollen. The day we were about to leave, my eyes were swollen. Like, I was delirious. And she's like, I was like, I just think I'm allergic to this mansion. I mean, I hated it. There's no chef, which I still am upset about. Yeah. There's no place to work out. We actually could, maybe they stopped it after our season, but we could go down and walk the whole thing and run the trail.
I
don't think we could.
I led some workout classes. Like, I led some,
gosh. So I guess it's the secret of the show. We would, and then they caught on to this, we'd wake up before anyone else. Me, Whitney, and Astrid would wake up, like, super early in the morning before they mic you. We'd get a cup of coffee. We'd go to the gazebo, and we would just talk. Like, say all the things that we couldn't say.
Oh, it's so
On camera or when we were mic'd. And then they eventually caught on to that, and then they pulled us away. Also, I would, you know how there's the room with the balcony and it connects to the other room?
Yeah.
We had this crazy hall monitor. Wow. And so when the girls would come back from their date, I think it was her first season, so she was like really trying to impress. So when the girls would come back, we wanted to know what happened, but they would tell us to go to sleep. So I would bear crawl across the balcony, pull back the curtains, and I would be like, Astrid, on the date.
Oh,
like
Astrid, so
because at one time, I don't know if you saw this during next season, they sent a girl home mid-date, Liz. So Liz was in my room. So I was like, where's Liz? Why isn't she here? So we're like peeking and she was like, where's Rachel? And what I had done is like I wear a scarf at night and I had put the scarf over the pillow.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I had put like bodies and I had put the thing over.
I love you for this. This is phenomenal. Like,
a lot of work.
I know, but I was like destined to know all the information. And then she caught me and she's like, what are you doing? Because we put our suitcases on the balcony. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys did that too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm looking for socks. I don't know, just like silly random thing. Anyways, all that to say, I didn't know if you guys share my sentiment. I think the Bachelor Mansion is a beautiful home.
Yeah.
How long it's just not there? A home for 25 people.
No.
Right?
How long were you guys there? Because we left early.
Yeah, you guys left earlier.
We were week three.
We went to
Singapore. Oh, well, some people were like week... I thought it was longer.
I think your season on Colton's season, it was that you got to go overseas.
Okay.
Yeah, that normally doesn't happen that fast. You're really only in the mansion for like...
Two weeks.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's enough to go a little stir crazy.
I'd like to check it out. I really would. I like to see it. I like it.
Damn, Joe, you didn't get to experience the jacuzzi.
No, I mean,
playing cards.
I mean, there's a part of me that kind of wishes I wasn't in love because I'd be like, I'd love to get back there.
Well, you could probably go. Like,
they should invite me. I mean,
do they Airbnb it? We should do a little staycation there, maybe.
That would be fun.
I'm sure, you know what? This is a segment. You guys should truly do this. You should do something maybe at the beginning of Peter's season before he comes in. Just a segment of Joe experiencing the mansion for the first time.
Yeah.
He walks upstairs.
Pajamas.
Pajamas.
Jacuzzi's by himself.
Instead of Chris, Chris Harrison greeting the guy, like, Peter, you go greet him at first, and then that's it.
I just want it. I just want to experience it.
Or pull up in a limo. Well, I guess that's already happened, but the limo part's already happened.
Joe needs to go on a group date, guys.
Joe, they should
I never had a group date. I never had a group date.
Or maybe you lead like a tour for all the first nighters.
That's true. You never got to hang out by the pool.
Yeah, I was just going to say, group dates are a lot.
What is one thing no one told you about going on the show that you wish you have known?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a great question, because I'm thinking, like, what is it?
I will tell you that as the lead, I wish someone would have told me how hard it was going to be sending people home. Mm. When I came on before, I was like, I don't know these people. It's going to be nothing to be like, I'm saving you. You know, like, just go home. You'll be fine. You get to go back to your normal life. It'll be fine. And I'm telling you, from the first night, it is so hard for people to express to you their feelings, and you're pushing them to open up, and then you gotta send them home. Mm-hmm. It is truly something that I underestimated, and I wish somebody would have told me how hard that was gonna be before.
Yeah, I wish somebody would have told me to relax more, because I was so serious. I think the first question I asked you in the house was, what is your biggest fear?
See?
And they pulled
right
away.
That's me.
Right there with you.
That's me,
you
know? She was like, Rachel, come here.
Yeah.
I was like, you're too serious, Mr. Bigger.
I was the same way. I was very like, oh, this is supposed to be accelerated. Let me ask accelerated questions.
Yeah, let's get to the point.
And then I'm like, man, I think I'm scaring them away, y'all. Yeah. I think I'm scaring them away.
You got to find a balance.
Yeah.
Because you're nervous, you're in it. So,
I would say maybe not to keep your guard up as much, because it is an expedited experience. You kind of have to force yourself to be ready for things way earlier, at least for me, than I usually would be. So maybe just to
How do you drop your guard?
I mean, just throw yourself at the experience.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, just, you know, throw yourself. Yeah, I mean, why not? I think there's strength in vulnerability. I mean, and I say this after going through everything. I wish that I saw the strength in my vulnerability earlier on, because on The Bachelor, I felt like I was definitely like holding everything at an arm's distance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So by the time Paradise came around, I was a lot more receptive towards that. But yeah.
Maybe have a drink first and then go all in.
I did not drink for like the first couple weeks. I like was like, no alcohol. I will not have an impaired judgment. Yeah.
Smart.
I wish I would have taken like a friend that had a camera and just roll and just let me talk on camera for a while.
Beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, just so, because I never done that. So like when I saw the cameras and they were like, and I was like, what are these people? They're all judging me right now. I'm being judged. You guys are judging me. And I'm thinking that in my head because I wasn't used to it. And then I start hearing myself talk and I'm like, this is horrible. You know, I destroyed myself before I could even be myself.
Yeah, you start prematurely judging your words.
Yeah.
You would have really benefited by being in a costume.
Mm.
And I'm dead serious because
Joe would never.
But
well, they asked me. They asked me.
I think I would have taken away some of your nerves. Like they can't see you, but you can see them. And then you know, once you would have taken it off, then you'd be like, oh, okay, like he's not a dud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come, because that's what you're always afraid of when they're wearing them. That would have been. So if you're a Joe and you go on the season,
well, they asked me. They're like, do you want to do anything? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to be myself. And I remember one of the producers is like, just have something, you know, just have
anything.
Something to say, anything, but you need something to fall back on. And I had nothing. And I went out there with nothing, and that's what I came home with. Nothing. All right.
What about you, Brian?
For me, I don't know. I think it's just not be so much of a rule follower. Mm-hmm. Probably wish I would have
listen, you had a game plan and it worked.
It did. But yeah, I guess I just listened to producers every single time and I was like, you know, maybe I should just do it. like wing it and do it and see where the chips
but
fall.
But that's like, he's such a rule follower. Like he's always like, well, it says this. I'm like, oh, who cares about that? We're going to do it this way. But it's such a good balance. I love that you're a rule follower. It's really a good balance. Tayshia, what about you?
I was really nervous. So I think I was a little more reserved. I wish I would have like just let loose, let my personality show a little bit earlier on, as opposed to like, I mean, you saw me sit in chocolate. You saw me be like silly towards the end. Like that's just Tayshia. That's like a Tayshia moment for you. But I just wish I would have let loose a little bit because I was so nervous. I didn't even know what I was saying to Colton when I was talking to him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like
I regret that. Like, I wish I would have opened up a little more. And
I think the moral of it all is when it comes to things we wish we would have known before going on the show, like, I think that you should get in front of a camera.
Joe, yeah, it's just about being
and
comfortable.
And practice talking or seeing a camera follow you and be there. I think that you should just try to let go and be yourself and not try to over-anticipate, you know, what they may do. You know, just be you, do
like
you.
Out of your control.
Don't judge because yourself. Then at the end of the day, you can say, you can rest assured, at least I gave it my all and I was myself no matter when you go home. Right?
100%. Yeah.
And less is more. The less you know, the better you might be. Because if you know more, you might fail.
Yeah.
Don't look
because you're playing
up.
A game based on what you think is going to happen.
Too many things in your head, yeah.
And don't judge anyone either.
Yes.
You know, it's very easy to be in the house and be like, that person looks like an idiot or that person sounds like an idiot. And then you judge other people, you judge yourself, you're in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. It's just go out there and chill the best way you can.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And if you didn't get enough, guess what? Next week, we're going to have part two of Bachelor Happy Hour Friendsgiving. So make sure you tune in because you don't want to miss out.
In the meantime, you can get all the latest Bachelor Nation news on BachelorNation.com right now. And if you have something that you want to tell us, good, bad, whatever, we're open to constructive criticism. You can email us at happyhour@BachelorNation.com or visit BachelorNation.com and click podcast. Thank you so much, guys, for listening.
So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert, I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.